The Lord's Prayer, Chapter 23. The Power and the Glory. Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom is the Lord's, and it includes the whole universe. Nothing is outside his jurisdiction. Every creature in the heavens and on earth rightfully belongs to his dominion. The power. But a king without power is king only in name. God is really king, and therefore to him belongs power. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs unto God. We must not fall into the error of limiting God, by thinking that power is divided, and that he has merely a share of it, even though it be the largest share. Yours is the kingdom and the power. His kingdom rules over all. And wherever his kingdom is, his power is supreme. God alone has power. God is the Almighty One. That is to say, he has all might. Therefore no other being possesses any might in himself. Because God possesses all the power in the universe, Christ, the only begotten Son, could say, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. In him we live, and move, and have our being." Every motion that is made, every thought, every word, requires the exercise of power. But the power is not inherent in the man who moves, but in God. There is no power but of God. The power which men have to fight and blaspheme God, and to commit all sorts of wickedness, is but God's power perverted, just as the performance of righteous acts, and the utterance of praise, is God's power given free course. Light-minded persons may see in this occasion for charging God foolishly, but others will see in it his superabounding grace and his everlasting love. While some think that God's seeming non-interference is an evidence of weakness, or of complicity with crime, the well-instructed will account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation. If God were not sure of his everlasting strength, he could not sit still and see men defy him to his face, and even use his own power in opposition to him. He has the patience of conscious omnipotence. Knowing that he really has power, he cannot, like puny man, be tempted to make an exhibition of it simply to demonstrate to scoffers that he possesses it. God desires that men should be saved, and in the gospel he manifests his power to save them. All God's power, and every revelation of it, is for the purpose of leading men to trust him for their soul's salvation. The fact that men misunderstand God, even willfully, and pervert the power which he reveals in them for their salvation, does not discourage him or throw him into a passion. Still he graciously manifests his power in them, in hope that at last they will allow him to use it to his own glory in their salvation. God's power is the power of love, and love does not use force. Therefore he patiently waits, until he is positively and definitely rejected. What wonderful joy comes with the recognition that all power is God's. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Our salvation depends on him, and he has the power. His kingdom is in our hearts, but his enemy has been allowed to come in and raise the standard of rebellion. Nevertheless, as soon as we definitely choose the Lord for our King and our Lawgiver, he will save us by his mighty power. For the Lord is our Judge, the Lord is our Lawgiver, the Lord is our King. He will save us. He has power to drive out every enemy. What comfort to rest confidingly in the almighty power of our God. The glory. His is the glory. Not only ought it to be, but it is. The last message before the coming of the Lord calls loudly upon men to fear God, and give glory to him, as the one who made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. We are to give glory to him, because it belongs to him. His is the glory, because his is the power. Whoever takes glory to himself for anything that he possesses or has done, thereby robs God. Thus says the Lord, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, either let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glories, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Wisdom, power, and riches all come from the Lord. Therefore, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord." Take a single example, in the line of wisdom. On the day of Pentecost, and in any times thereafter, God gave his servants power on the instant to talk foreign languages. Unlettered Galilean fishermen suddenly began to speak intelligently in languages that before were but meaningless jargon to them. It was manifestly a gift of God, and one instinctively shudders at the thought of one with such a gift boasting of his possession, as though the glory of it were due to him. Very well, but the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. If a man by study has acquired several languages, he has done it only by the power which God gave him, and therefore his knowledge is the gift of God just as truly as was the knowledge of the apostles. Whoever not simply openly, but in his inmost thoughts, continually gives God the glory, will be kept to the praise of the glory of his grace. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Men foolishly think that it is beneath their dignity, and a limitation of their freedom, to acknowledge that God alone has power, and that all glory belongs to him. But how much better it is to acknowledge the truth, and thus be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, than to deny him, and thus be left to our own disgraceful impotence. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.